You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Thursday, February 13th. Is it Thursday already? I was supposed to wear my green shirt today and I didn't do it. You know, I try to have these little things for unity in my department. Let's all wear our green shirt. And then, what kind of leader am I when I forget? All right, but it is Thursday, and you're riding home with me. I parked in the security guard's parking space today. I bet he's not going to be happy. It doesn't have his name on it, but it's where the guard parks, and it was the only parking space available in the front when I got here. So, that's what happened. I have a full show for you today. Guess what? Can you guess? Theological Discharge got bumped again. And I was going to do Francis Chan. Is Francis Chan an apostle? Because apparently Francis Chan is healing people in Burma now. But that's not funny. It's sad that he says he's doing that now, because I don't think he is. I was going to do that show. And I was really like, do I want to keep doing shows about people? I don't like to do shows about people. David Uth did this, and Rachel Den Hollander did this. Don't be a one-trick pony Christian, blah, blah, blah. But all of that's getting bumped. And I was, man, I had continuity. I had theological triage and theological discharge, and I was going to make my point. But I got to do this one today. I've got to do this one. The miracle oil at Tractor Supply. The miracle oil at Tractor Supply. So stay tuned for that. I have a question in the inbox about the Great Commission, a la Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1. And I'll get to those things as soon as I do the Bible chapter review. Today we start a new chapter. In the Bible chapter review, we're moving on to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Verses 1 and 2. And if you're wondering why I haven't gotten to them yet, it's because I'm on the on-ramp. I've been doing this show, 4 years now? I leave out of the same place, in the same way almost every day. And you'd think I'd be better at timing the opening banter to not get to the Bible chapter review and have this dead air time by the time I get to the on-ramp. But it wasn't happening. This guy in the middle lane is flying. Let me over. Come on. What is your purpose? How fast are you going to go? It's an out-of-stater, too. Come on. Help. I'm getting over. I get behind these people. Listen, when I was getting on the interstate just now, this guy was in the right lane, and I don't know why he chose at that moment to get over two lanes and start going as fast as he could. Well, not as fast as he could. It's like he had determined not to let me over. I don't understand people like that. I'm a courteous driver. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. In the same way as what? This is really confusing if you just open up a paper Bible and go to chapter 3 here and it says in the same way. That's a weird way to start a chapter. Again, I'm going to take issue with the guy who did the chapters and verses in the Bible. All right? In the same way that servants are submissive to their masters in the household. In the same way. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Here's why. So that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. So the thing with the servants and the masters, even the unreasonable and unjust ones, and the thing with citizenship, being submissive to leaders and those in authority, being a good citizen, being a good servant, not being a problem person, dealing with unjust treatment in a patient way. It's how we live before the world. So Peter starts outside in society. Here's how you need to be before the governor and the king or whoever. Then he moves into the household. This is how you need to be if you're a house slave or a servant. Then he moves not only within the household but to the family. If you're a wife, be submissive to your own husband. And there's a similar reason for all of this behavior, and that is your Christian witness before the world. And here Peter's saying, even if your husband's disobedient to the word, he's going to be won over without you having to say anything by your behavior. That's the power of a godly wife. Go back to the Garden of Eden. And man was lonely and no suitable companion could be found for him. So the Lord made woman out of man. And he said, and this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Think of how, if you're a man, now you women can't think about this because you're a woman. But if you're a man, I really want you to think about how essential women, specifically your wife, how essential women are to your existence. And you can't even be a man without a woman. I'm not saying you can't be a man if you're not married. And I'm not saying you can't, if you really think about it, you can't be a man without a woman because how are you going to get born, right? First of all, your mom's essential because you ain't going to be around without your mom or your dad. But your wife completes you in some, you're deficient without her. You say, well, God, God made creation. He said it was very good. He created man and it was very good. He made them male and female. Adam wasn't very good without Eve. He didn't have a suitable companion. So the creation of mankind is very good. But man needs that woman, that wife. That's what we call complementarianism, that the woman complements the man. Women need to understand this about themselves, how crucial and important they are to their husbands. And here we have an example of a husband in a household who's disobedient to the word. So whether he's not a Christian or he's just not a very good Christian, he's disobedient to the word, his wife living out a godly life, not for the glorification of herself or the glorification necessarily of her husband, but for the glorification of God, she can win her husband without saying anything, just by how she acts. Not being an adversary to him, but being a helpmate. And he'll want what she has. Why is my wife so great? Ah, because she submitted to God. I should be submitted to God. Witness matters everywhere. Outside the house, inside the house, inside the family. It matters everywhere. Be submissive to your own husbands, wives, so that you may win them. And I think Paul says the same thing over in Corinthians. About having an unbelieving spouse, that the unbelieving spouse may be won by the Christian witness in the household of the believing spouse. So let's move on to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? You can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. That is the Christian Commute inbox. Or you can dial 470-315-0875. I got another non-Daryl call today. Not that I don't like to hear from Daryl, but now somebody else is using the voicemail box, and that's pretty cool. But that's not what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go to Michael. Michael from Texas. Good question, guy. Michael from Texas writes in. SethDunn88@gmail.com. And he says, Matthew 28 and Acts chapter 1. He said, is this directed at the church or individuals? And I think he's talking about the Great Commission here, Matthew 28. Go ye therefore to every nation, making disciples, teaching them to believe all I've taught you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, what's Jesus say there? And lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. And then in Acts, what's he say? All power is given to me, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And we hear these verses preached in church a lot, especially we evangelical Christians, we Baptists, because people are saying, you go out and witness to people. You go share Christ with them. This is your individual Great Commission mandate. And Michael's saying, hold on, is he writing this to the church as a whole, or is he writing this to individuals? Michael, the answer is both. Because the church is made up of individuals. So in the church, we do this together. So think of baptism, Michael. Baptism is a church ordinance. But an individual person does the baptizing. Like there's going to be one specified or individual in the church for any given baptism, usually the pastor, who baptizes the baptizee, that convert. So he baptizes him. So I don't think Jesus is saying go around everywhere and save somebody and baptize them right then. No, you're discipling people within the church. So if somebody comes to me and says, I'm here to disciple people, I'm here to witness to people, what church are you a part of? Because we don't have Lone Ranger Christians, all right? We're always within the church as individuals. So you could look at 1 Peter 3. Oh, is this to individuals or to the church? It's to individual women in the church. So the Great Commission applies to us. Like, you will be my witnesses. Everybody who's a part of the church. So even right then, and like you could go back, you get really crazy, Michael, and say, he's talking to the men of Jerusalem. Remember the angel comes back, he says, men of Jerusalem, why are you still standing here looking up at the sky? This Jesus will come back in the same way he left. And you go, well, is Jesus only talking about the people of Jerusalem? And then the people of Jerusalem are supposed to be the witnesses to the end of the earth? No, that applies broadly to the whole church. That applies to us today, Michael, even though that we're not in Jerusalem. This is the ends of the earth. That's what I always say when somebody reads Acts 1:8. I always say, Acts 1:8, welcome to the ends of the earth. Because here I am in Georgia, about as far away from Israel as you can be. And here I am trying to witness to people. Here I am, a Christian. Because somebody brought the witness from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria over here to America. And there was a church over here and people sharing the gospel. This is the ends of the earth. This is actually the fulfillment of what Jesus said. And we're here with his authority. All authority has been given to Jesus. He's with us even to the end of the age. So think about it this way, Michael. Does the church teach the Great Commission? Teaching them to believe all I've commanded you. Does the church teach? Well, no, the Sunday school teacher teaches, or the pastor teaches. But he's a part of the church. That is a ministry of the church. So I would say it applies to individuals who are a part of the church. And that's why I'd say that's why my answer is both. Michael, that might have been the... No, did I give a both answer? That was Daryl. Daryl wrote in about baptism. I answered both. How do you like those answers? Both. All right. Moving on to today's show topic. The miracle at Tractor Supply. You longtime listeners, you will remember that me and my buddy, I gotta call him. I'm gonna call him after this show because I gotta tell him about it. You will remember that me and my buddy that I worked with, We actually did a joint show because he had his own little podcast where we went to Dalton. We took an executive lunch and we went to Dalton on Tuesday to see the Flowing Oil Bible. So for the last couple of years, every Tuesday at a place called the Grace Gift Shop, a Bible has been on display sitting in Tupperware, a big Tupperware, like one of these big plastic bins. I don't guess you'd call it Tupperware because it was too big to fit in your refrigerator. Like one of these big plastic bins you buy at Walmart. And there's a Bible sitting in there, and it's in about 2 inches of oil. Sitting in oil. And the guy who owns the Bible, his name's Jerry Pierce, he said that the Bible had just been leaking oil. And it was a miracle. And there was a Bible study that started in that gift shop, and they said the oil first started coming down the walls, and then shortly thereafter, Jerry's Bible starts leaking oil. So now people are coming from all around Tuesdays at 1 o'clock to see this oil. And it got so big that they had to rent a theater across the street for people to fit. And they started having religious services. And this guy, Jerry Pierce, he would go around the country taking his Bible to churches and telling about the flowing oil from the Bible. And he'd give it away. He wouldn't charge you for it. So I've got a vial of this oil at my desk, and he'd give it away. And people would say, oh, I put this oil on me and I've been healed. And there was even a story about how they sent the oil out for testing and it was indeterminate. Now, obviously, I didn't believe it. It was clear charlatanry to me. I thought, God is not doing this. It's either a false sign from Satan or this guy's just faking it. But here's the thing, like, I'm kind of skeptical. You can say I'm a skeptical person. I'm an accountant. In fact, accountants are required to be professional skeptics. So I'm a supernaturalist. So the anti-supernaturalist who just doesn't believe in God or the divine at all will just go in there. And when I say the divine, I mean things, I don't mean to say sound pantheistic. I mean to say angels, demons, you know, metaphysical beings. So if somebody's an atheist, they're going to walk in there and be like, this guy's poured a bunch of oil in a crate and he sat a Bible in it. And he's a liar and a fraud. I'm going to go in there and say, it could be that he's a liar or a fraud, or it could be this is Satan's work. Because I don't see anything biblical about this at all. And so, where does it say in the Bible? And to talk about the argument from ignorance, where does it say in the Bible that it's not going to happen? Doesn't say in the Bible you can't have an oil-flowing Bible. Why would it? This is absurd. And I covered all that on that old episode. And I went down there a second time and I took one of my coworkers with me. We have a chemist where we work. And I took the chemist. And he's a believer too. And we got an oil and he sent it away to some chemist friend of his with a machine. And the guy was basically like, there's nothing, there's no matches, there's no hits for what this oil is. It's just so common. It's not super specific, if you know what I mean. In other words, there's nothing special about this oil. And I sat there and I thought to myself, the guy lives in Chatsworth, Jerry Pierce. Am I going to have to like follow this guy home one day and like stalk his house or hire a private investigator? I honestly thought about hiring a private investigator to follow him around and see when the boxes get there from Amazon or Walmart.com with all this oil. Because I knew the guy was going to have to be buying a bunch of oil, but I didn't know where he was getting it or what kind. And I thought if I could find out what kind, then I could prove him. He was a liar. And it made me sad to go into that gift shop and see it packed of all these undiscerning people. And I've talked about that before. But I've talked about the conversations God allowed me to have with them. So nothing really came out of it because I was too busy to do all this investigation and bust the guy. And I didn't hire a private investigator. And my chemist friend, you know, I kind of hounded him about it, but he didn't follow up much. Well, today I saw an article posted at Friendly Atheist linking to the Chattanooga Times Free Press, which is the newspaper in Chattanooga. When I was a kid, this was in the heyday of newspapers before the internet, you had the Chattanooga Free Press, that was the conservative paper, and the Chattanooga Times, that was a liberal paper. Now we have the Times Free Press, and I guess we're lucky to have a paper at all. But a newspaper reporter tracked this guy down and found out that he was buying copious amounts of oil at the Tractor Supply in Dalton. I didn't even know Tractor Supply sold mineral oil. So this guy was buying off-the-shelf mineral oil at Tractor Supply. Jerry Pierce. And the reporter went there, I guess when Jerry Pierce was there, and asked the managers and said, does this guy come in here before? You've seen this guy? Like, yeah, this guy comes in all the time, and he buys mineral oil. So then the news reporter bought some mineral oil from Tractor Supply and went and got the oil that the guy was giving away from his Bible, had it tested at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. You know what? It came back same oil. You know, like 99.9% chance type of stuff. This is the same oil. So Jerry Pierce is busted. And now he's announced that, like, oh, the Bible hadn't given out oil for weeks. Yeah, because you're busted, Jerry. Now, I don't know if he's still doing his dog and pony show after the paper busted him. This just came out this week. But if I'm not booked in meetings Tuesday, I might go down to Dalton. Because when I met him, I never confronted him and called him a liar. The question I asked him is, of what church are you a member? And he said, I used to be a member of, you know, House of Hosanna or, what, you know, some Pentecostal sounding church. And he says, but now, you know, I go around traveling. Basically saying, you're not a church member. You're not a church member. You're not, hey, you're not doing the Great Commission. You're not a church member. You're not a part of church. So if you're not a church member, I don't believe you. If you're not a church member, God is not in your miracle. Or else you'd be a part of a local church. What are all the churches this guy traveled around with his fake miracle Bible going to do? And get this, he's like, the Bible only... he said the Bible only gave out oil in Dalton. So if he took it outside of Dalton, you know, where he didn't have, you know, barrels of oil, it didn't give out oil. And he took this with his cockamamie story and preached in churches everywhere. I wonder how much money this guy made. And if you saw this guy, he looked kind of new agey. He had a necklace with like a bag on it, like an Indian shaman would wear. Like, this is not a guy who's going to walk in at the accounting firm and get a job. I mean, a lot of you aren't, quite frankly. I'm not trying to come down on how you look or how you dress or what you do for a living. I'm just saying that this guy, he especially doesn't look like a preacher in a suit and tie who's going to come preach a revival at your church, if you know what I mean. Like, nobody's going to put this guy in a pulpit unless he's got a miracle Bible. So he has been, Jerry Pierce, exposed as a fraud. Does the story die there? No, I think every church, or the pastor of every church that invited him in, should be called to account for letting this charlatan wolf profane the pulpit. But here's the thing. I want to ask you a question, listeners, because this really puts a lot of my Pentecostal criticism in perspective. And you could probably still go to the list. I expect I better go to tonight on the internet and get a list of all the churches he's been to. What kind of churches do you think this guy's going to? Do you think this guy's trucking up to Cartersville, Georgia, and going to First Baptist of Cartersville, or going to Tabernacle Baptist Church with his anointing oil road show? What do you think? No. Him and his Tupperware full of mineral oil and his New International version of the Bible with scented pages. He put perfume in it to scent the pages. Like, that was a miracle too. It's Rose of Sharon. Went to XYZ Church of God. So if you go listen, if you go to the list of the churches this guy's traveled to, Church of God, Church of God, Church of God, and if it doesn't say Church of God in the name, like Cartersville is not Church of God anymore, it's Liberty Square, and Calhoun, it's not Calhoun Church of God. I think they call it Crane Eater. So it would be a Church of God by a different name. These Pentecostal churches who say, listen, this is on their website. These Pentecostal churches who say, Oh, yeah, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's evidence of tongue talking, and we got words of revelation and words of healing and blah, 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 blah. If you go to one of these churches, that's the kind of church that lets the charlatan in. I remember going the first time to the Grace Gift Shop oil place, and I met a couple pastors there, and they were there because they'd heard about it from church members, and they were checking it out. They were doing their pastoral duty to guard the sheep. And I remember one being real friendly and kind of open to the guy, but I talked to him later, and I could tell he didn't believe it. And I was like, well, he's not being hard with the guy, as hard as I think he should be. He's like kind of like treating him openly, and I wasn't hard with the guy either. But this was a guy hearing something about it in his church, finding out about it. Now he's going to go back to his sheep and say, I don't know about this. No, no, we're not going to have this here. That's protecting. Let me tell you something. The kind of pastor who would let in some guy who says, my Bible is flowing out oil, is not a sheepdog. He's not a shepherd. He likes to monetize people and get people in the door. He's a guy like, let's have something to come. I don't have a problem with guest preachers. That's fine. But what is this guy's qualification to be a guest preacher? He has a Bible with oil in it. What does that teach me about God or His Word? Your grandma probably told you something like this. This is kind of an old-timey grandma phrase. I'm going to give you two old-timey grandma phrases. One, consider the source. They always say, consider the source. Usually if it's somebody giving you a hard time, you say, consider the source. I think I said that to somebody about Greg Locke today. And then the other one is, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. That's what they tell you before you go to college. Get all that college learning. Don't be so open-minded your brains fall out. The Pentecostal church is so open-minded their brains have fallen out. They're members of Pentecostal churches. Their brains have fallen out. Because they're open to hoobadoobahappablab.com, they're open to any kind. I got a word of revelation. I got a Bible with oil. When you meet an atheist, they're like, nope, didn't happen. Why? Because they're atheists. They don't believe it can. When you meet a Pentecostal, it's like, oh, heck yeah, this is a legit miracle of God. Why? Because somebody says so? What happened to people on the street that said, maybe so, maybe not? You know, I don't think you find that in Pentecostal church. Could try having an ounce of discernment, a single ounce of discernment. If you could bottle discernment like miracle oil and put it in a vial, if you had a single ounce of discernment, imagine trying to be a member at one of these Pentecostal churches and in walks Jerry Pierce with his shaman bag necklace and his blue jeans to your church, whips out his NIV smelling like roses, Sharon, and says, God is flowing oil from this Bible and it's healing people. And you think, my pastor, the leaders of this church, let this fool in. And all these people who are my fellow church members are eating it up hook, line, and sinker. How would you feel? I don't know how many Pentecostal listeners I have on this show. It's kind of like the things, like it's a good show, but eventually you're going to be like, this guy, you know, he just constantly criticizes my denomination. I mean, I've had Catholic listeners too. I'm glad for every listener I have, unless you keep on giving to the cooperative program, even though I've shown you what it is. You know, I covered that Monday. Stop listening if you don't figure it out by now. But if you Pentecostal listeners, what's it going to take for you to stop believing this nonsense? You're a mark. You're a mark. Oh, that plane's awful low. What in the world? Hold on. There's a huge plane, very big for Cartersville, flying very low. What is that plane doing? Man, it's low. It's not near the airport either. That's troubling. All right. Hope it's not dropping a coronavirus bomb on me. All right, now, that sounded ridiculous. What am I talking about? I was distracted by a plane. I was making a very important spiritual point, and I was distracted by a plane. What's it going to take? You believe anything? Somebody is listening and like, he's doing it again, and they're screaming what I was talking about. Like, what's it going to take for you to stop believing? Oh, you're a mark. Like, you're the kind of person who watches the infomercial and buys whatever you sell. They sell because you believe the ridiculous claim. And I want you to think, as you go about your everyday life, you're probably not a mark for anything. There are probably some of you out there who watch that infomercial and say, no, that's a ripoff. Or, no, I've bought that before. I know that's a scam. Or when the guy comes to your house and says, oh, I'm from so-and-so roofing. You need a new roof. Yeah, you say that to everybody. Or, I'm from so-and-so termite. You have termites. No, I don't. Or, hey, I got a new credit card for you. I don't need another credit card. You know, there's always some product that somebody's trying to sell you, or something that somebody says you need, but you know you don't really need it. There's somebody in the barber shop, so they're still alive. Are you doing that in your life? Are you saying, nope, you can't date my daughter, I can tell about you, or no, I'm not going to take this job because I can tell this is a bad company? You're discerning everything else in your life that's not spiritual, but when it comes to churchy things, it's, oh yeah, this must be true. Yeah, I got a Bible full of oil. And you know why you believe that? Because the Bible is not your source for truth. You may say it is, but all the other things that you think are scams, you say, oh no, that's a scam. And you don't have to use the Bible to do it. But when it comes to using the Bible to understand divine things, you don't use it. You use your experience, and you get fooled. There is a dude with a tie-dye shirt, smoking a cigarette outside the projects right now, because I came by the projects, because I took a, I'm going somewhere different. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm not working out. My daughter's there. And it's just a dude like in a tie-dye t-shirt with a goatee smoking a cigarette. And it kind of looks like Jerry Pierce is why I bring it up. Why do you just believe everything that's not from the Bible? And I want you to start thinking about the type of sermons you get in your church. Are they exegetical sermons, like this is what the Word says? Or is it a lot of, well, God gave me this message, that I've got a vision for your life, or I got a word for this? Is it a lot of feelsies from the MOG? Maybe the MOG is, you know, like Billy Mays. You know Billy Mays? Billy Mays, who's OxyClean. OxyClean will clean anything off of anything. Did you spill red wine and blood all over a white satin dress? Rub 3 ounces of OxyClean on it, and it'll be white as new. I mean, your pastor is Billy Mays. He's selling you a bunch of fake stuff. He's selling you lime away. You're giving him 10% of your money. Stop with your Pentecostal pastors. Just stop. I want to give you a try. I want you to give this a try, all right? And I think this kind of method works on you. This is why I'm doing it. Try it before you buy it, all right? Here's what I want you to do. You go to, if you're a member of a Pentecostal church, and that looks like my dog. No, it's just another German short here. I don't know who I'm talking to now. It's like I'm talking to Rachel Den Hollander yesterday. She doesn't listen. I don't think I have a bunch of Pentecostal listeners. I bet I have a lot of former Pentecostals. But if you're at one of these Pentecostal churches, and it doesn't have to be crazy half a blab. It could be a more buttoned-down Church of God. If you're at one of these Church of Gods where they do tongue-talking and the kind of place that would let Jerry Pierce in, do this. I want you to take... And you know what? You can keep giving to your other church if you want to. I want you to take 12 Sundays and go to a non-Pentecostal church. Now, don't go to like a Lutheran church or Methodist church. Don't go to some sprinkling church. Go to a Baptist church or one of these fancy-smancy Baptist churches that's quote-unquote non-denominational. But go to a non-Pentecostal evangelical church that immerses, all right? Or even though they're sprinklers, go to PCA church. And I want you to go for, what did I say, 10 Sundays? Go for 10 Sundays and see the difference. And find one. You can listen to the preacher's podcast before you go for his sermons. Find one that just preaches the Bible. Go on a couple Wednesday nights. And come back and tell me if you think that that church has the Holy Spirit. Okay, sorry. I had to stop for a phone call. I know this has been very disjointed. I had to stop for a phone call about the Sunday school thing I've been planning. It was very important. But anyway, what I'm saying, go to a non-Pentecostal church for 10 Sundays. And then at the end say, well, was the Holy Spirit in that? Are those people believers? Because remember, they don't speak in tongues. They don't have that evidence. And say, are they believers? What do they do here? Nobody's had a word and think, have I learned more about God's will from my life from their exegetical preaching? All right? Just see the difference. All right? Because I'm going to tell you this. You're a mark and you're caught up in something. And if you need a recommendation or help finding a church, write me, SethDunn88@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.